You're all snickering there in the background. I don't know what's going on. There's troublemakers in the studio today.
Well, I never seen Keith Finnegan taking as much interest in the job spot.
Two lovely jobs there, no?
Yeah, you know, yeah. There could be something there, Keith.
There could be.
Before we go to our guests in studio, I'm conscious there's a lot of messages to get through. Let's hear from Kenny Deary, the outgoing CEO of the Galway Chamber.
Over the last 3.5 decades, you have given a platform to the people of Galway and, in particular with my call today, to the business community of Galway. Through thick and thin, through good times, through hard times, through recessions, through celebrations, through COVID, you've been the one constant that's been there as a voice, as a listening ear, and as a platform. All I can say is thank you so much for the support that you've provided to the Galway Chamber membership and the wider Galway communities. I wish you and Joan the very best for the decades ahead, and I don't doubt that there will be plenty exciting and interesting chapters to come. But for now, just a very sincere thank you from your friends right across the business community, and the very best of luck. Thank you.
And just a final tribute for now, Keith, and I think I was running racing during the week. I might have ignored her in the corridor there. Maureen Fahy from Treading the Prom is here.
This is Maureen Fahy here, and just want to say a huge co-gorgeous to you, Keith, for all the wonderful musical and cultural moments that you give us all on your programme. And sincere thank you, and enjoy your next chapter. Slán from all of us on Tread and the Prom.
Great family.
Great family indeed. And I know you're a great sports enthusiast, Keith.
Who's laughing, lads? Stop laughing.
Stop. I'm delighted to say we're joined by members of the sports team on Galway Bay FM, the current head of sport, Ollie Turner.
Hang on, let's just get this on. This is retribution. This is where they pick on me.
We're waiting for a long time for this now.
This is education, Keith. Delighted to say we're joined in studio by Ollie Turner, Kevin Dwyer and Sean Walsh as well. Ollie, I might start with you first, as the head of sport, the current head of sport.
What do you think of
Keith's sporting knowledge? That's the first one.
Well, he can be very thankful that over the years, he can thank the likes of Sean and Kevin and myself, that we never really were as bold as we could have been with him. Because literally, we could have teed him up with anything. And he'd have said it, you know. We could have said, that was some win for Galway United in the Champions League final, wasn't it? You know. But anyway, we played it straight, I think, Sean, didn't we, over the years?
We did most of the time.
I actually have to apologise to Ollie, because most of the time he's talking about sport, I'm kind of glazing over saying, okay. Yeah, it's just... It's just
we know.
I don't have the headspace for it.
I think it was rather apt when Ali rang me during the week. I mean, you know, we're talking to Keith in relation to sport. I went, oh my God, I'm out of my depth here. A fast story. And this also is a story that brings us back to a time when radio was not about broadband or whatever. There was a Fail na Gael. It was late 90s, early noughties. Fail na Gael, we had an update like this. Who did an update? Said 11 o'clock, brought me on. How are the Galway teams going, Sean, whatever. At the time, there was a very controversial issue in Galway hurling going on. And of course, Keith, when he had me, said, Sean, you might stay. Now, however, I was pictured the scene in a small shop in the east of the country. We had no mobile phone coverage. So I was on a payphone. So I was dropping in the coins as it was going. So Keith says, Sean, you stay with us for a second. Took an ad break. There was my standing anyway. The next thing, a local farmer comes in and starts talking about he had a problem at home with an animal and he had to ring the vet. Right? So anyway, off we go. Keith's great analysis of the sport. Of course, for once in his life, obviously he had time to kill, because he went into a big in-depth series of questions on that current topic, and I was going, well, I think this one. Why the lad was... Lad, will you give me the phone? I have to... Good God Almighty, the animal will be dead if I don't ring the vet. Bucko behind the desk here hears this and he goes, Sean, what's the problem there? Do you need a vet or whatever? Right? So by the end of the conversation, anyway, I could have said anything in relation to the fairly controversial subject. I couldn't hear myself thinking. I put down the phone. So at the end of the interview, Keith goes, well, that's very interesting. We had the failure. We had the discussion. And we also now know that that person or whatever needs a vet. I put down the phone and I turned to the lad and I said, Jesus. And he said, what's wrong with you, Machin? I said, I was doing a piece on radio. And he goes, oh, are you? Actually, you're good at it. And what were you doing it for? And who were you talking to? He's been 5 minutes talking to me about it.
Before the fish.
Before the fish was right. The final piece, about 3 days afterwards, I came into the sports desk and there was a letter in the sports department addressed to me from a well-known, he's dead now, vet saying, Sean, if you're ever in any difficulty in terms of a need for a vet, just give them my number. So there was someone listening.
Don't get caught like that again.
Ollie, we'll go to you next. What's your... It'd be hard to beat that story, but do you have any stories like that time working with Keith?
I don't know which one is going to come with, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the obvious memory for me is before I even started full-time in Galway BFM, I was working in Glynn's Hardware in Milltown. And it was just a brilliant time in my life, yeah. Late 90s. But at that time, I suppose Kevin was starting to hand over the mantle bit. So Kevin Dwyer beside me here, yeah. Would have been head of sport, John, before I was. And Kevin was teaching in Tuam CBS at the time, subsequently St. Pat's. And so, you know, 10 past 9, quarter past 9, if there was a hot topic, and there was a lot of them, Sean, in those late 90s,
we
early
90s. We spent a lot
90s.
Of time on this show.
And in particular, Keith had, you know, he'd Sean and Hurling, myself on the football then as go-to if there was anything, and that was pretty much every week at that time. But he would ring me, and I'd have to go into the office in Glynn's, because obviously it's a very busy shop counter, and that's where I was behind the counter. So there was Ollie Turner, Tony Sice, Johnny Giblin, that were the three amigos behind the counter, and people would come in to me in Glynn's and Milltown, and, you know, next thing, phone call come in, and call from the office, Ollie's, it's Galway BFM, we're okay, so I'd have to go in and sit down in the office, and then Keith would come on and literally, you know, the usual 15 seconds notice. And then
you're live.
And then you're live, by the way, as well. Ollie, talk to me about these All-Ireland tickets, what's going on? Yeah. And of course that was one of the many topics where there'd be a million phone calls into Galway BFM about trying to get hold of All-Ireland tickets for 1998, 1999.
And Finnegan always ended up with tickets, if you remember.
But that's it. Like, he went to four games in his life and they were all All-Ireland finals.
don't be shopping Frank Kearney now. Like that,
but it was just that surreal. And in fairness, what he did was he gave great scope to us to be able to expand and give us the space to go and give our opinions. And he was quick to come back. And even, like, sometimes it's good to have somebody from a layman's point of view, not to have a preordained opinion on sport, to just ask the layman's questions, as if to say, you know, why aren't ordinary people able to get tickets for an All-Ireland? Yeah. And if you're going to matches from January, when you think about it, they were very obvious and simple questions, and I hadn't the answer. But of course, sometimes you'd ruffle feathers at county board level at that as well. And look at...
And they were easily ruffled, to answer the word. Then they were easily ruffled. Lord rest
of getting the call, geez, you're more often on the Keith Finnegan show than you're on the sports program.
I was thinking of that coming in, Sean. Yeah. It was kind of a bit like, you know, when the sports stars end up on the front page of the newspaper rather than the back. We kind of felt justified in getting on. Oh, and even the people that had been going to the matches, you were on with Keith Finnegan. Yeah. It was like, God, you're really special.
The
like,
one thing, you know, the one thing I have to say as well is, in fairness, the dress code has improved. I'm looking at John Morley, the man that's coming in on Monday. A three-piece suit, my God.
Yeah.
Finnegan is kind of an old shirt and a bit of a jacket. So things look like they're
Morley,
on their fourth
quarter. Do you remember the snooker in the 80s, Kevin? Do you remember Kirk Stevens? He used to always wear these white suits going around. He was a very flashy character, a big tall lad as well. One knot. But he was good crack and looked the part, you know what I mean? But they were, look, in fairness to you, Keith, you never pretended to be an expert.
I couldn't.
Now that I say it out loud.
It took us 34 years to admit it.
You always trusted the sports department to deliver. And I think trust is an important word, Kevin Dwyer, isn't it, when it comes to Keith?
Yeah, I think that's the whole point of it. He had five heads of sports, of course, Gerard McDonough, Joe McDonough, Paul McGinley, myself and you, Ollie. And the one thing about him was he trusted every one of them.
I did.
And in particular, I say the work that I did with him, he allowed you to be so innovative. Mm. And, you know, there were so many things that happened during his watch. The Galway races, for example, which have become such an established part of the broadcasting. The rallying was another one. The idea of broadcasting matches live, which wasn't done. Yeah. I mean, the first time I came on here, we were doing matches, just quick reports from the county championship back in 1992. Paul McGinley introduced that idea.
Yeah.
And it evolved into broadcasting matches live. And then there was another one, which, of course, we were a local radio for the local people, and the motto with Paul McGinley was, we're big in Mullia.
Oh, yeah, that's
if
right,
you were big in Mullia, yeah, you were big everywhere.
Yes.
But at the time, there was a guy, you have to remember him, Bill Kelly from Boston, used to ring up, and he put the phone on hold.
Yeah.
Because if you put the phone on hold, you got the station, and the match would be on live, and he put the phone on hold. He'd tell the girl in reception, put that call on hold, and he'd broadcast the match off his telephone to all his friends in Boston. That was the first part of the international diaspora getting the sports from Galway Bay FM. And of course now it's all streamed, it's all live, and it's all there. So we've evolved so much, and Keith has been behind all of that secretly and working away. A man you could trust to do everything.
Except
commentary.
Go on.
No. Bring a bunch of medals over to
he's the
most decorated footballer in Galway. He has 24 Connacht medals upstairs in a drawer.
So I'll tell you the story of this one. So 2022, this is only the Christmas 12 months ago.
You better tell me this.
The Connacht Council gave Keith the box of medals to bring over because Galway were going to present the Connacht Senior Championship medals at the Galway Association of London dinner.
Okay.
Lovely touch and a big honour for the people of London to say that the Galway footballers would get their Connacht Senior medals at a dinner dance in London. It hadn't been done before. Normally there'd be a social over here in the new year. So of course the Connacht Council said, who'll be going over? I know who's going over. Keith Finnegan is going over. Bro, he's a safe pair of hands. No point giving them to any of the football of management team. So of course that's all grand, Kevin, except
they forgot the medals.
So if you go to if you look up the GAA folklore now, highest Connacht medal winner.
Keith Finnegan, ahead of Pádraig Choice, Matty McDonagh, they're only in the Hippoly place. What's his club though? That's the thing. Formerly Mirrorview, now Mike Cullen.
What am I going to do? I didn't even remember that. I really forget them? Did I?
The footballers didn't forget it either. No. I can tell you. There's still 24 medals upstairs.
And now there's public here in trouble.
I was even reminded of it recently when we were over at Ryslip. So it's a folklore story over there.
I'm off.
Okay, before Keith passes out, thanks indeed for Ollie and Kevin and Sean for joining us. It was good fun there, and took it as a good sport, Keith. I think it's safe to say as well.
I did. As long as there was no hard questions to that.
We have plenty more memories and tributes to come after these.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. I'd like to say we have three more guests in studio paying tribute to our very own Keith Finnegan, the Farewell Finnegan Show. And I'm just saying I'm joined now by Dominic O'Moran. And Dominic, you're from the tourism sector out there in Connemara. Just give us your proper title.
Does
he have one?
Today is Friday. So it's the Connemara and Ireland Islands Tourism Network.
And you've been involved with Keith over numerous years. Talk to us about your memories with Keith.
Oh my God, where will I start? One of the best memories I had is being down in the Maldron here years ago and having two ladies come in to do an interview about the Connemara Loop with you. Yeah. They were absolutely nervous and everything like that. And
I know the feeling.
I can remember bringing them in and then 20 minutes later, it was this superpower that you have, Finnegan, and it's your empathy. And it's for empathy both for the listener and for the person you're interviewing. And I think it's the way that you get into their shoes. I was going to say get into their clothes, but we're not going there now. But the way you get into their shoes, be it just getting their message across. And I think from a tourism perspective, you've been never found wanting in supporting that. And I hope people hear the emotion in my voice, because it's very true in that you were a voice for us in Galway City, primarily promoting Connemara as a destination.
But you know the passion
for the Galway
I have.
People.
You know the passion I have for Connemara.
Of course. And it's very evident, and that advocacy piece is so important for us, because everyone thinks that Connemara is full of French, Germans, Italians, Americans, whatever. But it's great to have Galwegians come out to see what's on their doorstep. And you do that. You champion that, and it's very important. And the principal thing that I'd like to get across is that you didn't just champion the bigger operations, the Kyle Moores, the Abbey Glens, the Ballinahinches, all of those. You champion the smaller houses. the little bed and breakfasts, yeah, the little festivals, the amazing festivals that are out there to get people to come out and see, yeah, what's on your doorstep. And I think that's something that we'll always appreciate. And good luck with John trying to get that across, you know. And I think there is an opportunity there, no pressure.
But you'll keep
he obviously didn't listen to my Aran Islands OB at all, Keith. He wasn't listening to it at all. But lovely words there from Dominic. And I think he's on about the emotion there. And it's very evident from the next piece I want you to play out for our listeners, Keith. We had them on just Wednesday gone by. Here are the O'Gormans paying tribute to you.
Hi, Keith. On behalf of Carol Gorman and myself, Susan Gorman, we would like to thank you so much for giving us the opportunity on Wednesday to meet with you, to take time out of your day to discuss our little baby warrior, Queen Maeve, with you. We wanted to take this opportunity to wish you an amazing retirement and just again to thank you for your kindness to us. You are a consummate professional and an absolute gentleman. So we wish you many, many happy years of retirement. May God bless you. Have a wonderful retirement. Take care. Thanks again. We'll keep in touch.
Yeah, lovely words from the Gormans there, Keith. And we're thinking of Maeve this morning as well as we broadcast.
The Warrior.
The Warrior, yeah.
Still,
yeah,
not over that interview.
I know. Yeah, you were actually only on about it yesterday to me as well. Yeah. But moving on, Keith, because we've talked about the industry and radio and the profession earlier in the programme as well with the likes of John Purcell of IBI. But I'm delighted to say we're joined by Lisa Nikushta of IMRO. Lisa, you're welcome and thanks for coming down this morning and coming into us today and talk to us about your interactions with Keith over the years in the radio industry.
Be careful.
My first foray into the radio industry was when I was working for the Broadcasting Regulator, and my second station visit, yeah, was to Galway BFM. And Keith was chief executive at the time, and he said to me, "Where did you come from?" Meaning, what radio station were you with before you started with the Regulator? And I didn't know, because I had never worked in radio in my life before. And I said, "Oh, I came from Dublin." And he went, no, what radio did you work with?" And I said, "I've never worked for a radio station." And he brought me through every radio station in the country, every chief executive, every program controller, and he gave me the broadest education in radio that I could, wow, ever have gotten, which I have to say has stood to me since then. And I think from that point on, he's always been a great sounding board to me. He's always been a great mentor, that if something went wrong, if I needed a steer, if I needed a guide in something, I know I could come to him. And I know it's like a Chatham House rules that he wasn't going to go back and repeat it to all and sundry.
Nobody knows.
Which is good. Yeah. But I suppose the other thing, and I was listening to John Purcell, my former chairman, this morning, when he was talking about the impact that Keith has had on the wider radio industry. And to an extent, I think he undersold the impact that Keith has had, because one of the my abiding memories is when COVID-19 struck and all of the businesses were closed, the advertising, yeah, market was gone. So stations like Galway Bay just weren't getting revenue in, but yet they were such an integral part of life at the time, not only to give information and verified information out to people, but also to make sure that there was an extra voice in the room for the people who were isolating at home so that they weren't lonely. And radio stations did not have the funding to keep themselves going. And myself and Keith worked night, noon and morning to get funding for those. And I think that the 5 million that we secured, and I will never forget the phone call that came from Keith to say there's a cabinet meeting tomorrow and they are going to approve 5 million euro for the independent radio stations. And I don't think it's an understatement to say that if it wasn't for that 5 million euro that came at that time, there would be an awful lot less independent local radio stations throughout the country today. And that's a massive legacy, I think, to take with. And
can I tell a secret?
Go on.
Do you remember the night before the cabinet? So the cabinet meeting was set, and the night before the cabinet meeting, I got a call from somebody who was on the phone to me this morning early and basically said, "That'll never happen. That'll never happen." And I do believe it was Richard Bruton, who was the
minister.
You're looking
at
me, you know. Richard Bruton, yeah, was the minister at the time. And I rang him and I said to him, "I'm being told this is not going to happen." And he said, "Who said that?" And I told him, and he said, "It'll happen." And it did happen, but it was on a knife edge. But that's how fragile it can be.
Yes, but it also, and I don't think the politicians at the time realised how much of a knife edge the radio stations, yep, were on, because there was a couple of stations that were days, yeah, from closing their doors, yeah, and the loss of that to the people all throughout the country, not only in Galway, but, yeah, your Radio Kerry's and your Midlands 103's and Red FM's and FM 104.
Midwest Radio.
The whole lot of them, yeah, yeah. Would have been would have had their doors closed.
There's two Mayo men either side of you here now, so just be careful.
I'm just going to say I'm probably Tipperary first, so I'm two Mayo men.
But you're touching on a good point there, Lisa. Public service broadcasting, and he's been a huge servant to that over the decades.
Yes, he has, and I suppose the other thing that people will notice are with all the furore that's been over RTE over the last couple of months, there is going to be a massive change coming down the tracks in the next couple of months with the rejigged TV licence fee for whatever that is. But part of what's going to come out in that is that programmes like Galway Talks will be funded now through television licence fee funding. And when we brought that out as a policy in 2012, people within our own group, within the radio stations, laughed at us and said it will never happen. Pat Rabbit, when he was Minister for Communications, said not one red cent from the TV licence fee will go to independent radio stations. But it was because people like Keith asked every politician when they sat in front of him here, what are you going to do to make sure and that independent stations will still be here? That's why the change is coming.
I would also at this stage take the likes of Dennis Nocton, who took us seriously. Like, we had an open door in his office, and he started the whole process.
He did, and I think when he spoke at the Radio Days Ireland conference a couple of years ago, he was introduced by Nessa McGann, and she said that he was the best Minister for Communications that we had had, and never was a truer word said, because he definitely did have local radio at the heart of everything he did.
Yeah, definitely. Lisa, thanks for coming and thanks for joining us this morning.
All the way from Tipperary.
All the way. It's a long way to Tipperary.
I'm also delighted to see the Imro Hall of Fame picture proudly displayed there outside the window of the studio. That was another big highlight for us.
And another achievement just last year, the Silver Imro Award for this current fairs programme.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, and those things are not easy come by. I think the Hall of Fame was a massive one, and I know I was on both sides of the divide for that, because the nominations came in when I was with the IBI, so IBI nominated Keith. There wasn't one dissenting voice at the committee when his nomination went up, and then I was working with the IBI when the day came then to actually make the formal presentation. So it was great to see that, and to see the industry recognising the contribution that you've made.
Humbled I am.
Lisa Nicusha, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks today. I want to go back to some of the messages coming into us, and we're going to have a look at some of the politicians which Lisa and yourself, Keith, have just referenced there. First, let's go to Fine Gael TD Kieran Cannon.
Good morning, Kieran Cannon here. I want to thank Keith Finnegan for his decades of service to our Galway community, for giving us comfort when we needed it, and for always being that trusted source of sound advice and wisdom. Keith, you will be sadly missed in our kitchens across County Galway every morning, and I wish you every good health and happiness in your next chapter.
And here is Fine Gael Senator Sean Kine.
Keith, Sean Kine here in my Cullen. Thank you for everything that you've done over the last 34 years in broadcasting with Galway Bay FM across the city and county, and indeed across the charity and hospice sectors that you've been so heavily involved over the years. You've been a strong advocate for Galway and the west of Ireland and the broadcasting sector, and I wish you every health and happiness to yourself and Joan in the years ahead. Gunyari and Thaulat, Keith, agus Gramagath.
I think the very last one we'll have time for today, it's Independent TD Noel Grealish.
Good morning, Keith. Noel Grealish here. First of all, can I thank you for your professionalism and courtesy that you've shown to me down through the years. I remember the first time I went into Galway Bay FM. It was back in 25 years ago, May in 1999, when I did my first interview with you in that small little black room that had no window. And look at how Galway Bay has come on since. So look at Keith. Can I wish you well? And I also thank you for your friendship, and I'm sure Joan would be delighted to have you back. And I know you're not going to sit at home looking out the window. I'm sure you have a lot of things planned for the future, and I look forward to meeting up with you in the weeks and months to come. So Keith, once again, thank you very much, and wishing you all the best on your retirement from Galway Bay FM.
At this point, Keith, I want to go to one of our other colleagues here in Galway Bay FM, and Lisa mentioned that you were a bit of a mentor to her. He's been a bit of a mentor to me as a male man moving to Galway Bay FM. Mark Roberts joins us. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Talk to us about your memories of coming to Galway Bay FM and meeting Mr. Keith Finnegan.
I had literally arrived in Galway, moved here, and he tracked me down. And remember...
Do you remember who we met?
I do.
The Bonscore Hospital.
Absolutely. That's we chatted, met. Yeah. Of all the places on the planet, two psoriasis sufferers. There had to be something that brought us together, but that was it. And we started chatting.
I had Aidan and Katie with me. They were in the waiting room. So we used to go for UV treatment in the Bon Scours until Saturday morning, and that's where I met you.
It was. And you asked me because you knew I did radio in another establishment not too far away before Eurovision, and would I be interested? And we came in, Don, my manager, and I, and we chatted to you, and you were just so easy to talk to, and you trusted me with picking my own music, which was so important for me.
Yeah.
And to this day, that's the one thing that everybody says to me about my programme. So you started that, and thank you for that. Also, so many people from the industry have been on to me, wishing you well and happy retirement, even though we all kind of think, no, he's not going to retire. But definitely, for the amount of help you've given people in this business, from our point of view, from the showbiz entertainment industry, you were always there when anybody wanted a last push or to come in and to do a song or whatever. So thank you for that. And Lisa mentioned it, but my lasting memory of the strangest times during COVID, and the amount of people that still say to me, you and I and the Bishop are Father Dermot in doing Mass. And to this day, for our listeners, I send Keith photographs, because we took loads of photographs, to make sure that everybody knew we were equally distant from each other. Do you remember?
We had the third priest as well.
What was the third priest? I know we had the Bishop at the time, and he promised we'd go out for food. Still waiting. Good morning, Bishop.
he's on Spidgel, a young priest from Boramore, and it was in Mary's.
Oh, I do remember, but what was his name? Stop, Sugar. Good morning, Father. You know who you are. But that to me, and the amount of times when I do concerts here in Galway, especially Galway County, the amount of people that come up and say, thank you so much for doing that. And that, again, was so progressive to do that. And so many people appreciated it at the time. So for all you've done for all of us, for me especially, and for Don and everybody in our business, thank you.
You're more than welcome. Where are we going now?
Lots more to come between now and the end of the programme, Keith. We'll have our head of news, Bernadette Prendergast. We'll have our programme director, John Richards. Dave McCarthy will be in, and so too will Jerry Murphy. That's all coming up next.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Did I say we're joined by our head of news, Bernadette Prendergast, and also by our programme director, John Richards, here at the station. And Bernadette, to you first, the well wishes, unfortunately we can't get them all in today, but there are well wishes coming in, and from fairly high places as well.
Absolutely. Best wine until last, John, because we have a message from Oris and Uachtarán, and it says, from Michael D and Sabina, we send our warmest regards to Keith and thank him for years of interesting inquiry and commentary on how Galway's heart beats. Keith did this not only with unfailing courtesy, but with a warmth that was the very best expression that a Galway native might hope to have. Sabina and I send our very best wishes to Keith for what we hope will be long mornings of health and happiness, devoted with the same curiosity to himself.
Good Lord.
Now, isn't that just so Michael D and so it well is, put yeah. together? It encapsulates it everything.
He is just a gentleman.
Absolutely. And a wonderful president. But today we're talking about you, and I'm delighted to be given a few minutes to say how I have
felt. Be careful.
Felt.
I don't know how many minutes he'll give.
That's right. John Morley is way more strict than you, Keith, with
absolutely,
the timings.
Absolutely. Go on.
But I wanted to start off with a quote, and it's from a renowned theatrical producer from America back in the 19th century. But she said that the power of radio is not that it speaks to millions, but that it speaks intimately and privately to each one of those millions. And that's what you achieved. You were in everybody's home, everybody's business, workplace, in the cars, and you're going to be so missed. But you were Keith. I heard Keith today, what Keith said. Do you know what Keith said? Do you know what Keith said to him? And that's just been terrific. And that's why Galway Talks has been so successful, and why Galway Bay FM has been so successful. It's important we give a voice to everybody, all the communities, all the individuals, and you've done that. So you're going to be really missed by all the listeners, but you're also going to be missed by all of us here as well. And I think it's important to say that today.
Do you know what the lovely thing is? I'll be around. I'm alive to enjoy a day like today and whatever. Mm. And I have full faith in the young fella. Just give him the going over you give me from time to time.
Does that include sitting in his office for about 2 hours any time we wanted something?
But tell that story briefly, because you sat in the office demanding you needed something for the newsroom.
Well, we needed some new equipment in the newsroom because, as everybody knows, we go out and about a lot. That's what we should do.
This is a good while ago now.
It is a good while ago. Back in tougher times. Yeah. And you were the CEO, you were my boss. And I said, right, we need one. And I felt very, very certain. Inspect. And I said, Keith, we just need one. And you said, we don't have any money. I said, it's just one. I gave you the amount it was. I had all my research done. You said, I'm sorry, we can't get it. So there was a nice, comfortable chair in the corner of your office.
And you sat there?
I sat there.
For 2 hours.
Yeah. And you did your work and people came in and out. And
I nearly had to call security.
Yeah. So then you said, right, I'm going to get the money from somewhere. And we got the recording equipment. Yeah. But Keith, you always listened. You really understand radio, and I think that's the most amazing thing. You were a pirate. I was always legit, but you were a pirate before you were legit. Mm-hmm. You know every aspect of radio. You climbed up the transmitters in Tunnabrookie and...
Only yesterday.
Yes, and in Abbeynockmoy. And you understand all of radio. It was a really holistic approach by yourself. Mm-hmm. You've been my boss and my colleague. And in terms of colleagues, we were planning things like when Nelson Mandela was coming, or Hillary Clinton, or Prince Charles, and they were wonderful, wonderful memories. But also, unfortunately, in the position we're in, we often get very sad stories before we broadcast them. And I know from behind the scenes the warmth you always dealt with those, the help you gave to people. Mm-hmm. And that also extended to how you deal with the staff as well. And down through the years, as my boss, the warmth and understanding, but then... you've always been my friend, and you've always been interested in all our families. It's been effortless to you, and it's been a privilege and a pleasure. And John, one other thing just to mention, because he said about the young lad there, but you were always so nurturing of new talent as well. And I think it's fitting now that you're vacating the seat, that new talent is coming into it. But you always made sure people came in, got trained, and we've had people who've left here and done wonderful things as well. But I just wanted to say, on behalf of the people who are left here since the very beginning, so you'll be talking to Johnny in just a few minutes because he's here for the full 35 years as well, but Donal Mahon, who's also, as everyone knows, on air, Martina Walsh up in accounts, Seamus O'Connell, our head of sales, and myself, we've been here since the very beginning with you. We're going to miss you hugely as well, but wishing you the best in the next chapter of the Keith Finnegan Book of Life. Turn each page carefully, but have loads of fun. Absolutely. One final thing. Something people don't know about you. You are a wicked mimic. And I would say none of the politicians, and maybe very few of the staff members know that. So we might have a little bit of that later.
Just now.
Thank you for all the fun and all the friendship.
Thank you. In regards to your mum and dad, thank you.
We also have a program director, John Richards. Johnny, briefly, a few words for Keith.
Okay, right. I've been warned once I start talking that I keep talking forever. I'm going to go against that today because I'm watching the clock here. Bernadette summed up a lot of my feelings and everything. I've been with you since the start, and I'm just going to tell one quick story about you that kind of sums up the type of person that you are to staff and to friends and everything. So a long time ago, I went to a concert in Slane. I went to see U2. And I was so excited about going there. I was representing the radio station. It's one of my first times kind of doing something like that. And you had said to me, take the Galway Bay FM Jeep. I said, you sure? And he says, take the Galway Bay FM Jeep, represent the station well and everything. It was fantastic. Went up, got great parking. I went to the concert. It was amazing. Got into the Jeep to go back. And I couldn't figure out. There was a reason. I was struggling when it was going past 20 miles an hour and 30 miles an hour, and the engine was whining quite a lot, and I said, I don't know, I'm not used to this Jeep and everything. So I just pushed the accelerator harder, and I got all the way back to Galway, and I could smell this burning all the time, and I got back to Galway to find out when I'd left back the Jeep, and you came back out to me the next day, and you said, Johnny, you left the handbrake on.
Which you did.
You're still doing it, Johnny. You're still doing it.
But the thing about the story is that you looked at me, and I was so upset. I really was upset at the time and everything. You says, don't you worry about it. I have your back. Don't let that thing. And that was one of the things that you have. You've always had people's backs. You've always supported them across the community, here in the staff at the station, and all of that. And that was one of the times I realised that you were a good man.
I'm glad that
I have one. One more thing. Sorry, very quickly. This is a message here from somebody you know very well. I just started off. Hi, Keith. Congratulations and best wishes on your journey into the next chapter of your life. From myself and all the team here at the Galway Advertiser, when the history of Galway comes to be written, your name will feature large in the writing of its first draft. For over three decades, through the media of radio that paints the best pictures, you've documented the evolution of a changing Galway through good times and sad times. I hope that with this legacy, you go on to do the things that fulfill you and Joan the most in the coming years. Thanks again for everything, my friend. Best regards, Declan Varley and the team at the Galway Advertiser.
Thank you so much.
Brilliant. We have to be very quick with our last two guests. I'm sorry, gentlemen, we don't have a whole lot of time for you, but briefly, two gentlemen who've worked on the show for countless years with you, Keith. We have Dave McCarthy and Gerry Murphy. Dave, I'll start with you first. Give us your best story there. You have a newspaper clip in there, and give us your best story with Keith.
Okay, well, I'll give you two quick ones. Keith, you won't remember this. The old studio in there.
Yeah.
Which if anybody sat in there on their own, it's got a coffin-like feel to it because the walls are padded and all that. So we used to broadcast from there for years. So, and you have a big console around it. I just wanted to set a picture for anybody who's never been in it. So we're going along anyway. And the next thing, our friend leaves from the console and he just unannounced leaves the studio live on air. I'm there doing my thing and I'm having to rattle on an ad lib on my own, right? So anyway, we go on and on, and it felt like about 2 minutes. He comes back and I said, well, where did you go? He says, I don't know. He said he went for coffee or he went to the loo or something. So a few weeks later, it happened again, right? And third time, he was at the other side of the console. You came around to get some tapes and I said, okay, I'm going to stop this now because I had to keep rattling. So I said, I was doing my bit and I said, I stopped. And I said, Keith, isn't that right? Well, you knocked stuff over to get around. You nearly fell on your face to get to the mic to that, but you never did it again. And one last quick one. 1992 Radio Ton. Do you remember, Keith?
I do.
We raised €167,000, highest one for Somali appeal in the country at the time. I was working in the bank, in TSB Bank, and it was an incredible day. I have some photographs here, which I'll show you later. And just one thing about it. I always remember you went to a presentation of the monies to Goal up in Dublin, and like it was a huge thing for a radio station to raise that. And John O'Shea said to you from Goal, what are you going to do next for us?
Yeah. I remember that.
And not a word of thanks.
We also have Gerry Murphy from the Motorings. Gerry, you want to say a few words, Keith, briefly?
My memory is the time Keith asked me if I would like to do a motoring slot on the back of Bob Bradley, Lord rest him.
That's right.
Coming to you on behalf of the Society of the Irish Motor Industry, Galway branch. And he asked me if I'd like to do it. Mother of God, I would jump. I would jump any height to do it for him. But we've had a good old bit of banter.
We have, and we'll have more so.
We will, please God. We will. And out.
I'm glad you mentioned Bob Bradley because that's the Jeep that Johnny burnt the clutch and the handbrake out of.
I'll just say finally to you, because I'll keep it brief as I always do. I'm losing a colleague today, but I'm glad to say I've gained a lifelong friend as well.
And a family.
Same as that.
Just a couple of people I'd like to say thank you to. Just to our board of directors, currently John Nocte, Mary O'Mara, Conor Costo, Peter Allen, our chairman, Brian Clougherty, who was on to me this morning, and Joe Connolly. And I want to remember the former directors, Gerry Clougherty, he was in Bushy Park, he's a gentleman altogether. David Burke, Ryan O'Gorman, Bernie O'Connor, Gerry Rabbit, Clem Walsh, who's no longer with us, Eamon Hannon, who's no longer with us, Charles Lynch, Tim Nocton and Tom O'Connor. But to all the staff members here, God above, they're just so good. And a special thank you to Eamon Doyle and Kitty Carr, by the way, in Park House, because they sent me the most beautiful card as well today, as did thousands other. But to Joan, where would I be without her? I wouldn't be anywhere, to be quite honest. I'd be nowhere in the world without her. But to Katie and to Aidan and to Colin and Diane and George and Helen and to everyone else who made it possible. Without naming people. That is it. I'm going to sign off the very last time in 33 seconds. Do stay tuned on Monday morning for Mr. Morley. My wife will be listening to you. She'll give you the two quick critique of it. But that is it, yeah. But thanks to everyone who made it possible today. And thanks to John Morley for producing today. And to all the presents and the gifts and the food, mothers we got. And to Cormac O'Halloran and the rest of the team here, a sincere thank you to all of them. That is it for the very last time. I am going to hit this button. And what happens then, John?
We're signing off.
So that is it for the last time from Keith Finnegan. Have yourselves a good and a safe weekend. Do tune in on Monday morning for John. A sincere thank you for all the messages, and to my family and my immediate family and friends and all of that. We will be in contact. Thank you for everything. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon. No, I won't.